Thanks, Joe. Thanks, man. I'm gonna probably be down here. Hopefully you can, it's actually closer to see the monitor because there's be a lot of scripture and a lot of small print. So tonight's like this fire hose, and I am going to just aim at you and just give you a lot of information, filling you up with stuff. You'll probably take away 10%. Half of you will fall asleep. And like I said this morning, that lady be like, that was the waste of 20 minutes, worst 20 minutes of my life, right? Some of you be like, walk away like, this did not apply to me at all. Well, hopefully you're going to get some things that you can take away and you can help others. And it goes across the spectrum here, whether you have internet at your house or you don't, or you're using it or you're not. We need to understand a lot of these principles, and we're going to talk about that. A refresher, since I was asked to remind you. I'm a missionary. I raised missionary support to do what I do. I get to come alongside missionaries, ministries, churches, missionaries around the world, ministries, and just love on them with technology, needs they have, building websites, videos, networking. I spent the half an hour before the service just talking with some of the people here about just the things that we can, just as a church, the things you might need. And so it's a blessing to be a geek and to share that with others, how I'm made. So, this is something I am very passionate about for many reasons. I have four kids of my own, and I was struggling through this, and I'll explain as the process goes and as the generations have come. Like I've talked to some of the kids at lunchtime. I was talking to them about the time before Google. You know, that's what we had to do before that. And, you know, and the computer, my first computer that I bought when I was graduating from high school and I was going off to Bible college, I paid $2,000 of my own money that I bought this 386, 25 megahertz with this. I don't even know if I had a hard drive. Maybe, it probably did. And then I was the only one on campus that had a one-speed CD-ROM. I was the only one that had a CD-ROM unit, and we played King's Quest. Anybody? King's Quest, all right, yes, no, it's like, you know, it's just this process, right, of growing up and everybody, the different stages, we'll talk about that in a minute, and understanding and developing this, as I call it, like I mentioned this morning, this tsunami of just technology and what it has come upon us, and how do we protect our families from this technology. So, and I will warn you, and we're probably going to have some glitches. I have tweaked this PowerPoint, I've redone it several years, and this is a mash of many things together, and buckle up because we're going for a ride, and we're going to see if this works. So obviously, how many of you use technology? Raise your hand. Yes, you know, it has become part of it. Why? Typically, the answer to this is, well, it makes life easier. Is that true? No, right? It actually makes things harder, makes things more difficult. I have to do my reports this way four times, and I have to copy, you know, you have to, so many different things. We use technology, we feel, to make life easier. Well, not really, right? It just becomes a information load, overload. So here are some things. In the year 1900, cars started to come about. Radios came about 1906. Washing machines, 1907. These are technology. This is technology. So you think, oh, radio and washing machines. No, that's technology, right? Because before that, they're down in the creek, right? Or creek, wherever you're from, okay? televisions, 1925, roughly. Personal computers, 1975. And there was a whole lot of other things that went into there between 75 and 2007. iPads started coming around. iPhones came around. Facebook came around 2004. Instagram came around 2010. Just some rough dates of some major highlights on areas of technology. There's a quote that I found. I want you to pick out which one of these this goes with. At first, people did not think of them as something useful. They were more like toys. What do you think that went with? Why do you got to be so smart? they thought, oh, they're cars, automobiles, they're just toys, you know. Yeah, everybody drove here in a car tonight, right? Everybody, they stuck around, right? None of you came on a horse and buggy tonight. They do out by me in Ohio. Yeah, not too far. Okay, but in reality, you think, oh, that could be, you know, washing machines. Oh, those are just toys, you know. Not for the ladies. They're like, no way. You know, televisions, personal computers might have been thought that as they were very expensive and very, you know, as things started evolving and thinking about the area of technology. It's here to stay. No, it's just going to be here, and it's just going to get more and more stuff as it goes on. Like, okay, I'm a Generation X guy, okay? That's me. I know I look older than that, I know, but it's the gray hair in youth ministry. Sorry, man, it's going to happen. Youth ministry, it's going back.
My wife, she threatened me to start putting a Sharpie marker where the hair was receding just to prove that it was receding. I'm like, no, it's not. So as a Generation X person, I had to adapt. Now, I was 18 years old when I got my first computer. So I was, you know, a little old. But as this generation, we had to start adapting to the technology that was coming our way, right? Then came the millennials, who basically just got on the wave and rode it. Like, they're enjoying the ride. They're riding. And now we've got the Generation Z is what they call it. There's all different names for all these different generations. But the younger kids right now, I actually think they called it Generation Z because they're lazy. I'm not making that up. As I've read about some things, because they have just, we find them, and we have not helped them. What has become the most popular babysitting tool of all time in the past 3 years? A phone, a TV. I don't know how many times I see a mom in a grocery store. No offense, moms. Okay, I get it. Kids are hard. Okay, I had four. Okay, I'm praising God I'm out of that. Diapers and all that stuff. But, you know, they're in the grocery store sitting in a cart watching some video on their phone. Or they're sitting somewhere in something that they should be participating in, and they're sitting looking at an iPad. Okay? Trust me, I grew up coming into services. We need them to be participating in life and not always looking at a screen. That's what I mean. And they are submerged into this. They don't really know any different. Millennials kind of jumped on and wrote it on their choice kind of thing. Just generation that we're having, these kids and teens and young kids, they're just kind of like, they don't even know that it's not any other way. Maybe even today somebody says, when I said that there was a time before Google, they might not even ever thought of that before, you know, kind of thing, okay? I found this quote and I thought it was interesting. I've got no role model for how to deal with this world. This world didn't exist when I was growing up, and the restrictions my parents put on TV use didn't make sense in the world of technology when the computer is both their source of entertainment, homework, and encyclopedia. Okay, this idea of a parent quotes is, in other words, the role model that I had was my parents telling me, oh, you know, only 1 hour of TV a week or 2 hours of TV a week, that's it. You know, does not exist anymore. Because now, I don't know about your schools, my school is like, they've got Google Classroom, they've got assignments they're doing online, they're taking tests online at home. My daughter's a senior, she's taking some online classes for college already. She'll graduate from high school with 12 college credits. We've got a kid in our youth group who's going to graduate high school with like our first 2 years of college done. I'm not totally sold on that. You know, there's a lot to just going to college, okay? Not getting it all done ahead of time and multitasking. There's something about graduating from high school and college separately. There's something. We got kids who are going to graduate from college that don't have the experience that they've really gotten from college, what they need to get. And it wasn't always about the books. You know, it was a lot more stuff that you learn at college than that. So, I mean, yeah, we don't have these. We don't know what to do with this. It's a different world we're living in. It's a different culture. 54% of the entire world is connected through the internet. Billions of people have the ability to connect to each other. And when they talk about 54.4% of the world, this is what they would call active users. So if you check your Juno email once a month, you're not on that list. Some of you are like, oh, Juno, AOL disks in the mail. Come on, you're with me. You know, I made a collage out of all my disks one time. It was really fun. 60% of all internet traffic is on mobile devices. There's a lot of internet traffic, and I'm going to tell you about it in a minute. But 60% of everything is being done on mobile devices. It's all shifting. It's all shifting over there. And that's even talking about computers at work and laptops and everything done in the corporate offices. So think about how much traffic is being transferred over your devices. I shared a lot of this morning, and that word is spelled wrong. Actually, it looks kind of cool with two eyes in there, but it's not. The average time spent on smartphone is 4 hours a day in front of you. 4 hours a day you're looking at it. 2.5 hours on social media. 9 hours a day on screen time for teenagers. 18 hours of the average millennial is consuming media. 18 hours a day. I shared some of this morning. But this is a reality in the statistics of what's going on. We're in social media at least in almost 2 hours, 2.5 hours a day. We're being social, kind of. Okay, and I'll share a little bit more about that in a minute. Now, it might be hard for you to see,
But I'm going to talk through some of this. But for 60 seconds on the internet, in 60 seconds, these are the things that are happening. We'll start at Facebook. 243,000 photos are being uploaded on Facebook every 60 seconds. And we are striving to find our value and to give ourselves purpose. And we put up a photo and we try to get a like from it, right? Every 60 seconds, there's new photos. You might be popular for 60 seconds and gone. I started going back through my photos. I'm like, wow, I post a lot of photos. You know, start going back and looking at all this stuff. I'm like, wow, I remember that. I love going back and looking at photos. Matter of fact, this has nothing to do with this, but young moms, let me tell you something that I am so thankful that my wife started about 7 years ago. So she wasn't so young, but I didn't tell her that. I didn't say that, okay? But it was 7 years ago, that would probably my daughter would have been about 10 or 11 or something when we started, but other kids. She started it every night. Well, we have it right next to her bed. She has a little file thing. She would write down one memory from every day. So there are nights that we sit in our bed and we try to go back for the last week. All right, what did we do on Wednesday? What was the one thing? What was the one thing we had done on Wednesday? We've gone back. She has done it for every day for the past 7 years. It is so cool to go through that. And like she's like, oh, 6 years ago today we did this. I'm like, oh, that was so fun. Or, oh, that was a bad day. You know, or something like that. You know, the van broke down or something like that, you know, which was often, you know. But, I mean, side note. But Facebook, 243,000 photos are being uploaded. YouTube alone, 400 hours of video is being uploaded. 400 hours is being uploaded. And 700,000 hours is being watched in 1 minute. I can't wrap my head around that. I can't understand 700,000 hours are being watched in 1 minute, and then it happens again, and then it happens again every time that's going on there. 65,000 photos are being uploaded to Instagram. 210,000 snaps are happening on Snapchat. 29 million messages are being processed on WhatsApp. Let's see, emails. 156 million emails are being sent. 87,000 hours are being watched on Netflix. Where's the Twitter? 350,000 tweets are happening on Twitter. Dropbox, 800,000 files are being uploaded to Dropbox. Skype, 20 million minutes are being called on Skype. I mean, it's a lot, right? The amount of traffic. Here's some more statistics. On Google iTunes, 15,000 songs are being downloaded in 1 minute. Amazon sells 25,000 items every 1 minute. They make $75,000 a minute in profit. Don't you wish you had that little time machine and you went back and be like, I want Amazon.com, please. Let me have that one. Thank you. Okay? The amount of data that's being transferred, and I use the little 3.5 disk thing. I show this to kids and I'm like, that's the save button. I'm like, no, actually, that's a floppy disk. Let me introduce you to a floppy disk. Let me tell you about that. A floppy disk could hold 1.44 megabytes, right? I had a digital camera that you could put floppy disks in. You could put about 15 photos on there, right? You know? You'd be like, oh, new disk. And then you'd put it in your pocket and crack it. Oh, there goes the photos. Okay? The amount of 2.5 terabytes of data is being transferred every 60 seconds. That's 1.9 million floppy disks. It's transferring over the internet like this. It's just the amount of data that is being transferred over the internet is insane. Okay, let's keep going. We're more connected than ever, but we are feeling more alone. This is a quote I pulled out from some research. We're connected, we're friends, but we have the loneliest generation that has ever been existed. The way they're just with the anxieties and depression, that kind of stuff within this going on. It's crazy. We have friends, or is it friendships? Which one is it? We have a lot of friends, but no friendships. Okay, this idea of the dangers that are going on within this culture. So I'm going to pick on teenagers for a couple minutes here because I was a youth pastor and I just love teenagers, okay? 95% of all teenagers are online. And you know, you start thinking about, what about the rest of them? Yeah, they're down in Amishville, down by me in Ohio. You have some of those, right? Okay, it's okay. They're all right. They don't. It's just where they're at. Okay, 92% of teenagers are on social media. 47% of them have a public account. In other words, from 13 to 18. Almost half of every teenager that's on social media, their account is completely public. You can see everything that they're doing on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, okay? They have shown that they can you can see whatever they want, 47% of it. What even blows my mind more is that 70% of them are not even connected to their parents who are on the same platform. So if they're not even friends with their parents who are on that platform. Their parents are not even following what they're doing. I got on Facebook, 11 years ago or something like that, and my girls didn't get on my oldest daughter didn't get on until she was 16, and then you know how the younger daughter says, well, she's on, why can't I be on, and blah, 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 and then she, it's just the progression, kind of thing. My 9-year-old wants to be on already. I'm like, sorry, it's illegal. I can't let you. You have to be 13. So my son just turned 13 a couple days ago, April Fool's Day. That's his birthday, and we let him get on Facebook, and grandma was his first friend, okay? So this is how it goes. This is how it goes, and this is how it went in my family. My girls got on Facebook. Grandma got on Facebook, and everybody else was on Facebook with them, and they decided, wow, that's just too much. They see everything. I'm going to go to Instagram. So my daughters went to Instagram. So did I. I followed them to there, okay? That's fine. Grandma's not on Instagram. That's fine. Grandma's great. We love grandma. Don't get me wrong. But they wanted a place where grandma wasn't. I get it. No worries. But we're there with her, okay? My kids were not allowed to have Snapchat, and until my daughter went to college. She's 19. She was 19 and a half, and she calls me. I'm so thankful. She calls me and goes, Dad, am I allowed to get Snapchat? I'm like, you're 19 and a half. You can honestly, it's up to you. You make that call now. We've trained them. You put them in you launch the arrow, right? You do what you can. You launch the arrow and you're like, you have to let them fly, right? You got to push them out of the net. So they use it a lot within their class and their dorm stuff they're doing. That's fine, whatever they're doing. But my other daughter, I looked there. I'm like, don't even think about it. Kind of thing. It's just not an option for you right now. Okay, so. But we got on Snapchat. I have one person that I follow, and that's my daughter. So I don't have, a streak with my daughter. Is that what you call it when you have a Snapchat streak? Yeah, my wife, we don't even know what we're doing. So it's as if they did. I got a 300-day streak. You should be in jail. That's right. That's right. That's right. Have you noticed there's a lot of that? There's a lot of that stuff that we used to call, and it's been changed. And yeah. Yeah. No streaking tonight. I had a mom come up to me before the thing started, and she goes, is this going to be appropriate? And so I'm like, I'm going to be appropriate. I'm not sure about you guys. You guys are doing that kind of stuff. The average teenager sends about 4,500 messages, 4,500 either a text or a direct message each month. Okay, they're messaging, they're connecting, they're reaching out. Okay, explicit material. The average person or child gets exposed to explicit material at the age of 8 years old. I have a 9-year-old. It would break my heart to think that he was exposed to something like that. And they're so curious, they don't look away. I remember the first time I got eyes on some stuff. I was at my grandpa's house. He had a magazine that was under his couch. And my ball rolled under there. I reached under there to get my ball, and I pulled out this magazine. I was like, what is I was 10, right? And actually, I was 9, and I heard somebody come, so I threw it back under there. I'm like, okay, I'm coming back. I'm coming back for this. I was curious. I'm a 9-year-old boy, okay? It's just, I just had no idea. Nobody ever talked to me about it. I just was, my eyes were open, and I just was like, what, shock and awe, right? And I'm like, I'm coming back. I waited, I'm sitting in my room waiting for 3 hours. I'm like, okay, we're clear. Nobody, they're all outside somewhere. I go back, it was gone. I was so mad. I am so thankful now, right? Because that's not even a part of my life. And I'm just so thankful that as a young boy that could have really directed me changes in the time when it happened. And they don't look away. 93% of boys and 62% of girls will be exposed to this by their 18, by the time they turn 18 years old. 93% of all boys are going to be exposed to it. And this is not seeing something in the mall on the... on the windows or in the billboards or something. This is more than that. 1 in 4 kids this year will stumble across this in their own home by typing in a wrong web address or typing in something or clicking on something. Several years ago, we had a family who was the son had been exposed to some explicit material, and he was got caught, that kind of stuff. Talked to his parents about it, and they said, "Okay, how we have stuff, this software on the computers. How are you getting to this?" He says, "I'm going through the Wii game console." He was getting through the internet through their Wii game console and getting on to see some things in there. So they're purposed, but they're also ones where you stumble across it. 1 in 4 kids is going to stumble across it this year in your homes on average. So that's why we talk about this kind of stuff. It's no longer if they will see it, it's when. That's a shame, isn't it? It's a shame to think that we have to be that they're going to, it's not something we're going to be able to really protect them from as much as we want them to. But we're going to, it's about when they're going to see it, not if. 54% of pastors say they've seen this within the last year, and 30% within the last month. 26% of weekly attending church men reported using this in the past week. Now, this is global church. You got to understand, okay? You understand. This is not just one certain kind of, this is the global church in general. Spectrum of people is what this, where they got these surveys from. So just some stuff. You know what? We really got to think about accountability. We've got to really think about accountability within ourselves and things that we can help each other have accountability with, because this is a real deal. This is a big deal. I was doing some research. I found this quote, and I thought this is something we should be reminded of. "I simply wish someone would have told me why it was so harmful instead of simply putting it on a list of things we don't talk about. We all know our rights and wrongs, but we seldom do we know what makes them so." Growing up, I was told it's wrong to go to a movie. They never told me why. Never talked to me about it. They just said no. My mother-in-law, love her to pieces, Western Pennsylvania, her mom told her it's wrong to play with playing cards. To this day, we're at her house playing cards. She goes, "My mother would be rolling over her grave right now if you know," she, not quite, she, everything. But, you know, the idea is, we were, and she goes, I just didn't know why. We were just told no. Okay, we live within a culture that is just like the tsunami of technology. It's no longer going to suffice that we just say no. We have to talk about this. It's not when. It's not if they're going to see it, it's when. And so when it comes, we need to help them navigate through this. You're going to have that conversation with your son or daughter or husband or wife and say, "Hey, when this comes up, we got to make a decision what we're going to do and what you're going to do when you see this stuff and when you're going to have to make choices." It's a big deal. So let me give you some things that are out there that are that we just talk through some of these basic dangers or benefits, and like, cuz a lot of these have benefits and dangers that go along with them. I'm a big fan. Like I said this morning, social media, it's a great tool. We just use it poorly. On the left side here, we've got Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. The top social media networks. YouTube is social because you can comment, you can interact, and you can share, and you can subscribe, and there's all sorts of interaction on there as well. Those are the top. So we've got chats. We've got the abilities to do chats and being social. We've got live video that are happening, all these things. There's dating apps. There's ability to comment. On the right side, there's a bunch of apps. The one with the fire on it, the red thing, it's called Hot or Not. It used to be called Tinder. It's called Hot or Not, and you subscribe to this app, and your picture comes up, and somebody looks at this, and they say, they look at your picture, and they say, "You're hot or you're not? You're hot or you're not?" And if both of you say you're hot, and the other person sees you and they say you're hot, and they say, "Oh, you have a match. Would you like to meet?" I'm serious. It has wrecked the form of dating or courting or whatever you want to call it. All of a sudden, you've got two people who think they're hot, and they're connected. And they're in your region. It's regional. It's regional. So it's not like you're in, you know, that kind of stuff. And there's all sorts of, the cup there, it's called house party, video chatting. D is the down with that, Snapchat. Yik Yak, anonymous stuff going on there, WhatsApp, the blue one with the little smiley face, that's called BetterNet. That's an app you can put on your phone that will tunnel through any kind of filtering you've got on your home or any other filtering that will allow VPN traffic through. It's like a tunnel to the unfiltered internet, and they've provided this absolutely free for kids to download and put install. It's got a Google Chrome app that they can install on their Google Chromebooks or on their school accounts and that kind of stuff, and they can tunnel right out. I discovered this when kids were doing it at our public school, our Christian school, realizing that kind of stuff. And so we we've quickly started. And then there's that, the calculator. It's called Calculator Percentage. It's a hiding app where you can type in a certain code, and it opens a folder, and you can put pictures and video inside of it to keep it hidden. So you can give your parents the phone and be like, here you go, look at all this, no, all the pictures. Oh, yep, good, good. Oh, nothing here. Good job. You open up the Calculator Percenter app, type in a code, and it opens another folder where you can share pictures and stuff and all sorts of stuff that your parents can't see because they don't know the code. So there's just a lot of that hiding apps that are out there kind of things. The one, Ask FM, the one with the big A, that was one I talked about this morning, as well as the far right, the little envelope, that's Sahara. I never say it right. There's like six ways to say it, but it's something like that. And it's all about this anonymous app, anonymous, where you can comment and be anonymous, and that's where people go, you know, it's good for team building. They can anonymously give you positive feedback. Yeah, that's when's the last time you had positive feedback from anonymous coworkers, right? Yeah. Clean out the fridge. You left your lunch, you know, kind of thing. Just think about that and being a 16-year-old girl and put your picture out there, and that's what happened in Cleveland, like I shared this morning. And they just keep coming. Live video chats, live video stuff. Just another thing I want to mention is up here is called hashtags. We all remember them as the pound sign, okay? It has changed. It is the way to be able to associate pictures, comments, anything you want together. So within these social networks, they have within Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, all these things, you can put a hashtag on it. In other words, you can say, my wife bakes a strawberry pie, and I take a picture of it, and I'm like, strawberry pie. Hashtag strawberry pie, okay? And if I click on that hashtag, I'll see every picture that's public that they also put strawberry pie on it, and I can see other people's strawberry pies, and I can be jealous, but not really, because mine was amazing, okay? You know, but I'm just using it as an example. This can be used for great things to put, like, verse of the day, hashtag verse of the day. I put that on my verses. So, like, and people click on those. You can actually follow a hashtag. So, like, if you want in your feed to come up, everybody who posts something about verse of the day, you can get that in your feed. It's great. Like I said, it's a great tool. We just use it very poorly. My daughter, I was looking at her phone one day, and I saw this hashtag that she had searched that she didn't know that you could delete your searches in Instagram and Facebook and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, what is that? She's like, well, and I asked her about it, and I clicked on it to verify that kind of stuff with my wife and that kind of stuff. And I said, well, where did you hear that? Oh, in the girls' locker room. I just didn't understand what they were saying, so I wanted to learn. That's what they're going to do this. We need to talk about it. We need to help them understand. And those pictures, whatever somebody has put, whether it's strawberry pie or not, you can put a hashtag on anything you want. It could be verse of the day, and somebody could put a really bad picture, risque picture of something up there and hashtag it strawberry pie, and I click on it. And I'm going to talk about this in a minute, but it's not filtered. In other words, it's instant. I don't get a choice whether I see that or not. It's there. It comes flooding up to my eyes. I see it. It's a choice that I made to click on a hashtag. Now, hashtags can be very good, but they can be also, I encourage to not click on hashtags because you don't know what you're going to get. You have no way of saying or knowing what you're going to get on those hashtags. Another one that's very popular is called Finstagram. It's a fake Instagram. Most kids have one. So you'll have one that everybody sees, and everybody, that's your name, that's everything. Then they have a fake one where they just have fun with, and they only have a couple people that they share with, and it's just their fake one. Or they have a fake one that's totally not them at all, and they're just faking everything out there and that kind of stuff. So I'm just letting you know that there's multiple accounts that somebody can have. But this is a very popular phrase, you know, your Finsta. What's your Finsta? Or something like that. And that's Instagram. It's a fake Instagram account. I found this quote to go along with that. Even though 86% of teens say they've received general advice of online use from their parents, researchers at Common Sense Media found that 30% of teens who are online believe their parents know a little or nothing about what social media apps and sites they are using. So the kids are like, yeah, they've told us, and yeah, but our parents, they don't know what we're doing. We're doing our own thing. They have no idea. They have no clue. That's what the teens are thinking. 92, like I said, 92% of them are on social media. And again, parents aren't even following them. 70% of parents aren't even following what the kids are doing. So this is a big deal. Now here is where we start getting into the real core of all this, right? This is the core. Since the beginning of time, in their case, the God of this world, Lucifer, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That's supposed to say C-O-T-U-S. The font didn't carry over. But C-O-T-U-S, from the beginning of time, Lucifer has been trying to put you at the center of the universe and to remove Christ at the center of the universe, center of our lives. He has said to us, he has blinded our minds to think we are the most important thing. He has been telling everybody since the beginning, you are more important than anything else, pleasing yourself over everything else. And that is not true. That is not true at all. We are not here for us. Praise the Lord for ice cream. Do I get an amen? Come on, okay? I love ice cream. I would not have done well living 200 years ago with no ice cream, okay? I really like ice cream, okay? But, you know, and that is totally to please my taste buds, okay? That I give myself that pleasure every now and then. I have to slow down. I'm getting older. It's catching up, okay? But you know what? We do this, to please our taste buds, to please us. We have a problem. We think that this world is about us. We think that our lives are about us. We think that our time, our money, our vehicles, our homes, our stuff is about us. No, it's not. And he's trying to deceive us. It keeps going on to talk about it. In which you once walked following the course of this world, following the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. We have an adversary, like we sang about tonight. We sang about that adversary. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. I don't think Satan kind of went to God and be like, I'm going to create this network of social computers, and I'm going to put it out there, and I'm going to connect these people, and I'm going to prowl around. I think he's loving it. I think he's loving the fact that there's this stuff out there that he can just light it up, and people are just being devoured by this stuff. And he is a roaring lion seeking what he can do to devour us. The real problem, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. Nobody. I don't seek God on my own. Nobody seeks God on their own. Nobody is righteous. We're all doomed, right? That's the problem of man. That's our heart condition. We're all sinners. We all have a deceitful heart. We all want to please ourselves. From the beginning, we've believed the lie that we are more important than anything else, and we still tend to look at that. None are righteous. Well, 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Ouch! For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. If you had to describe social media in a wrap-up verse, it'd be right there. Desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. How much can I make myself look good? What can I see that makes my flesh feel good? We put things in front of us, and they're momentary, and they don't last, a lot like ice cream. That's what it is. We call it eye candy. We call it the pride of life. We call it these things that just will not sustain. But we give into it so many times. Do not love the world or the things of the world. Romans 8:5, we talked about 8 this earlier this morning, but 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. This is memorization verses that you should have. You should log these in. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Again, you're going to be like, oh, Lord, this is heavy. But yet, Titus, right? But yet, the grace of God. But yet, God demonstrated in Romans. But yet, God demonstrated his love toward us. That while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's hope, all right? There's hope, and we're going to get to that. Don't worry. There's solutions to this. Don't get too worried. And this is where I love. I love Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, in which your spiritual worship. I wish it would have said, present your bodies every day, right? We got to get up every day and remind ourselves, I have to present this wretched being to God and let him Let him have victory every day. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. And I'm going to give you a whole message wrapped up in two, three lines here. That whole passage right there basically says this in Romans 12. You have to renew your mind. You have to change your input. 4 hours a day in front of your screen, 2.5 hours. The amount of television that's even being watched nowadays. You start thinking about how much screen time, right? 9 hours a day in front of a screen. Millennials are consuming 18 hours of media. That's a lot of input. And yet, like I quoted this morning, 3% of Christian teenagers are reading their Bible every day. Only 3%. Not even talking about adults. I'm not sure there's a stat on that one. They follow teenagers a little more than they do adults sometimes. But change your input. You got to renew your thinking. Change your perspective. Remember the center of the universe? You have to change that. You got to get out of the middle. And then change your purpose, your actions. He spends a whole portion of Romans 12 in there and lays out some things. You're like, why does God have to say this? Because we don't do it. We don't love others. We love ourselves. That's why he laid it out for us. Read Romans 12 tonight before you go to bed. Okay? That'll help you a lot. Proverbs 4, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the spring of life. You have to guard your heart. This crud is just coming at you, and you got to put guards up. You got to put shields up. You have to say, Mom and Dad, I need help. Husband, I need help. Wife, I need help. Guard yourself, because when the thing comes in, you know the phrase, right? Garbage in, garbage out. It holds true. You eat some bad food, you're going to feel it. Okay, it's going to come, it's going to happen. Okay, that's why we got to guard. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, what is lovely, what is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. I wonder if you took this list of things and examined this by the list of things that you watch on Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, whatever, that they would fit in this category. If it would fit in the category, if I would do that on the things. You think, this is hard. Star Trek doesn't fit in there, I'm just saying. It's just not, it's not true at all, okay? I'm just saying, okay? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to burst your bubble on some of you Star Trek guys, but it's not true, so you don't have to, no, okay. But dwell on the Star Wars, we're all good. That's totally true, we're good. That's right, Star Trek, no, Wars, all about the Wars. Chewbacca's my favorite. Okay. This is the solution, right? Now, how do we do this, right? How do we protect ourselves? Well, we could become Amish. It's truth. You could. I mean, today. Start today, and you get your little washboard out and go after it, okay? Or you can do nothing. You just can do nothing and hope you don't get junk in your family, in your life. I doubt that's going to happen. You could lead with an iron fist. I was reading some research on this. I was doing it. I found this one mom who was a mommy blogger, and she was talking about her journey of helping her kids be internet and whatever. She wouldn't let them have email, internet, cell phone, nothing until they turned 18. I'm like, well, that's almost Amish, okay? But I mean, you know, but living in the real, and like, wow, that's, or she would sit with them. She would check their email. That's what she would do. She would sit with them while they would check their email together. I'm like, wow, that's a little over the edge. A little bit, you know, kind of. I want to lean a little bit more toward this one of like putting in some boundaries that we have in place and letting them swim a little, right? We got to help them swim. So when they get out of the fish pond, out of the fish bowl, they can swim on their own. We're going to push them out. You want to push them out of the net someday, okay? You want them out. We were sitting at lunch talking with the boys, and they're like, yeah, I saw this video about this guy. He's like 30, still living at home. I might try that. So I won't tell you who that was. You know, kind of thing. It's like cheap. I could, you know, I think, oh, I could live at home till I'm 30. Like, yeah, not at my house. Okay. I love you, but you got to go for your own sake, right? For our own sakes, they got to go. That's what they're meant to do, right? We got to put in some boundaries. Well, how do we do that? This idea of internet is crazy because it's not just home Wi-Fi, right? It's not just a cell phone. So we've got mobile data. We've got Wi-Fi at our home. We've got Home Depot has great Wi-Fi, by the way. If you need a Wi-Fi, just pull up in the parking lot. It's free Wi-Fi, okay? You know, I don't know how many neighborhoods I've driven around and just parked in a neighborhood and gotten on somebody's Wi-Fi because I needed something. Okay, that's illegal. But I did it to test it. I only did it once because I had to test it for this workshop, okay? But, I mean, there's so much free Wi-Fi, you know, kind of stuff. There's Wi-Fi everywhere. Okay? You've got computers, you've got cell phones, you've got iPads, you've got all these devices. And thankfully for grandma, she just gives them all to the kids for the grandkids for Christmas. Great! Grandma gives our kids iPads for Christmas. Thanks a lot. Not, right? They're just not helping, right? Kind of thing. And they're just free to go. I had a mom post a picture of her sons that she got an iPad for, and they're on my son's basketball team. My fourth grade basketball team. They got it. And I'm like, hey, I saw her at the basketball game. I'm like, hey, I see that your boys got iPads. Yeah, grandma. Grandma gave them to my great. Do you have like internet filtering at your house? Oh no. I'm like, do you know that the average age of a kid who gets exposed to illicit material is 8 years old? Her jaw, it was awesome. You know, like that jaw drop moment. Like, I'm like, yeah, your kid's going to see this and go off and be a psycho killer. Just, you're welcome. I'm like, you're welcome. I'm just giving you some warning, okay? We have so much stuff, right? We've got public Wi-Fi, mobile data, phones, tablets. They have devices that you can put next to your washer and dryer. When you run out of detergent, you can push the button. And in 2 days, you'll have a new shipment of detergent at your house. Thanks, Amazon. You know, they have refrigerators that'll scan the fridge and see, oh, you're low in milk, and will send you a text. They have vacuum cleaners that will tell you when your bag is full. If you don't know when your bag is full, something's wrong with you. Okay, I don't even have those bags anymore. You know, the dust is coming out. Is that full? I can't tell. You know, it's dust is flying everywhere. It's just, we have things. We have so much stuff to figure out. There's so many ways of connecting this kind of stuff. So I want to suggest a couple things. I want to suggest that we talk about monitoring. Instead of monitoring, we're talking about mentoring. Now, we do want to monitor. Don't get me wrong. At different ages, you do different things. But you're going to monitor what they're using. We're going to monitor by putting in locations of where they can use their devices and time restrictions. I totally agree with this kind of stuff. As children grow, these grow with them. My kids are not and still are not allowed to have my daughter's kids at home are not allowed to have their cell phones, laptops, any technology in their rooms. No TV, no phones, no iPads, no nothing in their rooms. They do it all downstairs in the family area. At all. The only exception is for my daughter when she has a drum, like an electric drum set, because she's a drummer, and then she plugs her music in to listen to the songs to do that. I'll grant her momentary asylum for that kind of thing. I'll let her have it for that moment, you know, kind of thing. But I mean, we have time restrictions, we have locations, we have a family computer that everybody can see the screen on. Time locations. I know the passwords. I know the passwords on all my daughter's media's social media accounts. This comes in very handy if I need an ego boost. You know, I just log in and say, my dad is awesome, you know, from her account, and it makes me feel good, you know. But I do that. I check them. I probably check them about every 6 months, just checking to see if they haven't changed, and I can log in for the password if I'm logging in to see other things. But I know the passwords. Now, I'll share this quote later, but technology is a privilege. It's not a right. So every one of you kids and teenagers and adults and husbands and wives, technology is a privilege. Having it is a privilege. You know, the average person spends about $1,000 a year for a smartphone. Think about how much it costs for you to buy it. Like if you just bought it, okay? Like if you just bought, say you bought an iPhone 8, okay? You're looking at $600. Lasts you 2 years, roughly. Unless you drop it in motor oil like I did. Totally. 2 weeks ago. It's in my coat pocket, was zipped down, I bent over to pick the change in my oil like I never do. I'm teaching my daughter how to change your oil, like a good dad. You know, I'm like, oh, we're going to do this. Bloop, fell right in the motor oil. iPhone 6 Plus, S, whatever. I screamed. Pulled it out, wiped it off, shut it down, cleaned it up, still working. Actually, I think it's faster. I don't know. I think it might be faster now with the oil. So the average person spends, so you have $600 for the phone, roughly, you know, you think about, okay, so much per month, and it adds up and that kind of stuff for one line. You add them all up, and we spend a lot of money. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to have a device. It's a privilege to have technology. It's a privilege to be able to use this kind of stuff. I disable apps on their phones as they grow. I release some of these as well. We take off all the ability to surf the internet. We have passcodes and all this stuff. GPS location, I can track where she's at all times. This comes in really handy. My daughter is, like I told you this morning, is into sports. They're on the soccer team. They're heading to a game, away game, that kind of stuff. I'm like, I'll just see where they're at, see how far they've gone. They're supposed to be going up to Perry, Ohio, up by Painesville, up in that area, up by the lake. And all of a sudden, I see her going 71 south toward Columbus. I'm like, that's not where they're going. And I text her. I'm like, you guys are going the wrong direction. I'm like, my coach is sleeping. Wake him up. You are going in the wrong direction. They were going to some other Perry High School in like Columbus or something. I don't know where it was. They were going to the wrong school. They would have. So luckily, by me being the Nazi dad with the tracker, they got to their game. They were only like 15 minutes late, and they still had their game. They finished. They still lost. But I mean, it's just where it is. This is what we are. I monitor them for them safety. My daughter, my oldest daughter, learning how to drive, got her license. She had a job with a lady who was walking a pony for her birthday parties. She would go literally walk a pony for an hour and make like $20. I'm like, wow, best job ever. I wish I had that as a kid, right? Walk a pony, make $20. She would go there and she'd walk, and then she was up in Lorraine, a little north of us, and I don't know where she was at. She calls me hysterically. Dad, I just bumped this guy in front of me, at the light. The light turned green. She thought he was going. She was going, and then he never went, and she bumped him, and this classic. It was more like junk, but classic, right? And then I'm like, she's hysterical. I'm like, where are you? I don't know where I'm at. She's freaking out, thinks that she's locking her car. This guy's scaring her. And so I'm like, I know where she's at. Pull it up. I said, take me there, and it took me right to her. I was there within 12 minutes. Because it wasn't that far, but I would be. She was hysterical. So that's the kind of thing. When they're learning, you need to start installing these kind of, that's why this is a privilege to have this kind of stuff. That's why as a dad, this is priceless to me. At that moment, knowing exactly where she was at, I had no problem paying that $40 a month bill because I knew where she was at. I could go rescue her. I was the hero that day. I was a hero. I had to pay the guy off, though. That was ridiculous. Never mind. Boundaries, right? Putting in boundaries, right? The safety for the fish is in the bowl. Okay, he gets outside of the bowl, he's going to die. And as they grow, you grow the boundaries. You let them expand. You let them figure it out. You help them learn. You're going to start with really small boundaries, but you're going to learn how to use it. When you make poor decisions, the boundaries aren't going to move that much. You're just going to have to think about that idea. Okay, here's that fire hose of more content. So what do we do? How do we filter our house? How do we give good filtering? How do we monitor their text messages? How do we give them clean internet on their phones and that kind of stuff, on their Wi-Fi? I'm going to list three things for your content filtering for your house. On the left here, there are three things that I can recommend, okay? One is a thing called OpenDNS. It's a free service that you can apply to your Wi-Fi router at your house. You don't have to be super technology. A little bit. But they have tutorials on their website. They can walk you through how to set up some settings on that, as well. Where's Josh? Is he here? Then back. Josh has done it at his house. Half a gallon of ice cream, and he'll do it for you. I'm sure that's probably. Up, shaking his head. All right, good. So he'll help you set up that OpenDNS at his house. Another one is called Circle with Disney. It's a device that you add to your house. You can buy them at Best Buy. You can get them on Amazon, $75 to $100, depending if you get a sale. And you add it to your house using their app, and you filter your house. It works really well. We use it at our house. It's nice to track every individual product, every different device at your house. Works pretty well. Now, there's no magic bullet up here, okay? There's nothing that's 100% every time, okay? Where there's a will, there's a way, right? We are sinful people, okay? We're going to figure out how to get around one of these things. So don't get me wrong. So Circle by Disney, there's another one called Koala Router. Koala, it's very similar to Circle. It does a lot of the same things, Koala. Those are some three good things to put in a home. Very helpful. In the middle, Force Field and TeenSafe are two things that you can add to track cell phone messages and locations and block things on apps and times and locations and stuff like that. They are subscription. The minimum is probably $15 a month. Some of them have multiple devices you can have on them, so that they do get expensive, but you can track all that kind of stuff. We were using TeenSafe for a while when my daughter was first texting with her friends, and it was good for a while. We were monitoring it. Then I noticed that it shows you what they deleted, so you can see the messages that were deleted. So I went in there and I read them, and I said, "Can you tell me why you deleted these things?" And she's like, "Oh." I'm like, yeah, I can see this stuff. And it's hard having me as her dad, and I'm the tech guy. It's kind of like, it's horrible, right, for her. But so we had a good conversation of why she deleted those things. So, Force Field, very similar to that. So, yeah, question.
Yeah, is this just for Wi-Fi?
Right. So Force Field and TeenSafe are through a phone that can go on their mobile data as well as they go away. So you're tracking them, you're seeing it, you're doing, there's some filtering and that kind of stuff with that for those as they're away. Now we're going to get to some VPNs, which is the more the mobile on mobile end of it. We're going to talk about that in a second. But yes, so the left side content filtering, opening that circle and Koala is all home Wi-Fi. Now you go to mobile data where you're on your cell phone, you're getting off, you have to do something different. Force Field and TeenSafe are basically just monitoring that, seeing what they're doing on their phone, limiting it with time apps. You can do all different time stuff on those, limiting them to learn as they grow. And then on the far right is VPNs, or these are apps that will help protect and filter your phones while you're on mobile data. Okay, so a VPN is a company's made this up so you could virtual private network into a company, and you could have a clear tunnel where you're not being other people can't see your traffic. They're great. They can be used for good and for bad, like I talked about. But when you have PageClean or NetAngel, you pay so much, and you have it up, put it on your phone, and it's a filtered internet. It's a clean internet on your phone, and you can't take it off without the passcode. So you can't have it taken off without the right passcode, which I don't have. You know, I don't have mine, that kind of stuff. So somebody else has to type that code in, which really messed me up when I went to I traveled from here. I was in the Philippines in November, and I forgot to take it off before I went. And when I went, I was getting on the different Wi-Fis. They block all VPNs on some of those Wi-Fis, so I couldn't get out anywhere. I couldn't even call home. I couldn't even, you know, any kind of stuff. So we had to finally get connected, and she had to give me the passcode. We changed it after that, but we had to get it off. So there's some benefits to that, and there's some not. But the last one is Go, Circle to Go. Circle with the home unit has an app that you can install for $4.99. You can get up to 10 devices and have it connected so you can see the transfer of, that goes with your home. The same settings you have at home carry with them on they go out somewhere else. So it's really the most economical version to use it. Now, I've noticed it also does slow down your internet a little, your speeds on your phone, because it's checking back with home and making sure, and the data usage goes up a little bit. So if you're limited on your data, be careful on that. But those are some things to help protect your resources and your devices and your kids as they're going out, or yourself even as they're going out. So we'll have some time for questions here in a minute. Another place you can get that, I built a website called technologycontract.com. You can go there and you can see the contract, you can download it, you can talk with your kids about it, and you can sign a technology contract with your kids or your family or a husband. You can go through it, and it's based on Romans 12. And so you can see the 12 different things there that are talked through about how to have a contract with your with somebody you're keeping accountable and that kind of stuff. So, and don't just think it's just for them. There's things for parents on there to sign as well. And one of the things on there we'll talk about is, you know what, you're going to make a mistake, and I'm going to be here to help pick you up. That's my job as a parent. I'm going to pick you up when you make a mistake. I encourage people to use like a YouVersion Bible app on their phone. You know, the input you can put in, God's word is going to help the output. So that's why I encourage these resources. A quote that I like, a couple different quotes. If you don't want anyone to find out, then don't do it. Duh, right? I mean, you know, if you don't want your parents to see what you're texting, then don't text it. If you don't want them to see this or hear this or do this, or you don't want your wife or your husband or your church, then don't do it. If you don't mind getting caught, then go ahead. You know, that kind of stuff. You know, technology is a privilege, not a right. Just reminding you some things that I've caught. Age does not equal opportunity. Age plus responsibility equals opportunity. Just because you're 13 and I'm 13, I'm allowed to have social media. Let's go, Mom. I need a smartphone. It's time. No. Opportunity doesn't mean you have an age. Just because you're of age doesn't mean you get it. Remember, technology is a privilege, not a right. Our greatest glory is not in never falling, but in rising every time we fall. Help people up when they fall. There is a high chance of everybody in this room falling at some point of some way on something that they're trying to be accountable on. You know, there was a time I said, no more ice cream. I fell. Yeah, that didn't last long. Okay, I set smaller goals now. The cups are smaller. You know, it used to be bowl. Now it's this like half cup of whatever that I'm allowed. So that's fine. I'll take it. I still get some, you know, kind of thing. We all have to think about that. Be there to pick them up when they fall.
The goal, like I said this morning, is not to make bad people become good people, but to make dead people become alive. We are dead, and through the blood of Christ, we can become alive, and we can have victory over these things. The goal here in the area of technology is to help people not just be good, not just to be moral, but is to make the right decision, like we talked about, all the different verses we talked about, to be alive in Christ and have victory over these things because the Spirit has given us victory. The Holy Spirit is the conviction, the power to make this happen. So those are my thoughts. Let's have some question and answer time on this, and let's, if you have some questions, if you don't, awesome. Some of you are like, you know, the commercial where the speaker would blow and all the hair would come back, you know, like in the, you know, that kind of stuff. I get that. But if there's something I can help you with, we can answer questions, let me do that.
And when you ask your questions, I'm going to give you this microphone because this is going to be recorded. And
oh, it's recorded.
More sense.
Oh, I wouldn't have said that about my wife.
If it's recorded, that way we have the questions on that end. If you go back to listen to it, or if you go, you want to recommend this to somebody
Absolutely.
Else, you can go
Please
to our
do.
Website, and you can find it there, and they'll actually hear the question.
I have a couple. I also have a couple of videos that are similar to this. This has been updated significantly on our website, techmin.org. And you can see some videos, and I've got some messages up there about that kind of stuff as well. So, questions? TechMin, TechMin, MIN.org, TechMin.org. I said that to one like TechMen. Oh, that would have been a cool website, TechMen. Yeah, no, TechMin, Tech Ministry, Technology Ministry Network. And I do have some brochures about our. I'm like the worst missionary. Like, I didn't bring a display. I didn't bring a pamphlet. I have a couple pamphlets if you want to learn about our ministry. I'll give those to you if you're interested. So, but questions? Yeah. I'm not going to use any. I'm good. I'm set to go. Is that what you mean? Do I need? Oh, no. Yeah. I'll repeat the question. So you're talking about dating sites, right? So things connecting with people. Yeah, I mean, connecting with people is a great thing, okay? Now, again, anybody can make anything look like anything they want to, right? So you have no idea if you're connecting with somebody until, you know, you meet in person because that's the real deal, okay? I think, like I said, they are great tools. I think we just use them poorly. I think we have sinful people who want to use them for sin. Like I said, right? There's dating apps. Oh, she's hot. Oh, you're both hot. We're going to, like, hook up. We're good. There's a lot of apps that even, like, hey, this person is in your area and is available tonight. Like, ridiculous. I mean, there's those kind of things, okay? But there are legitimately connecting people that really have a lot of similar things. I'm not against that. Just be wise. The scripture that we talked about tonight, process it all through that grid, and you'll be fine.
I was recently traveling, and I was driving to Tucson, Arizona. I stopped at a rest area in Texas, and when I looked at my phone, I had all these, like, I'm not even sure what they were, but there was, like, these scantily clad women who wanted to meet me, and I don't know how
Texas.
I got on there. Yeah.
It's Texas. Yeah, we're just going to blame
I don't know how I got on there, but I didn't even open them up. I just erased them.
Yeah.
But as soon as I erased one, there was, like, three more showed up, and I'm sitting there erasing, like, five or six of them all the time, and I'm going, like, this is crazy. Yeah. I didn't do anything but open my phone because I'd been driving, and then I looked my...
No, obviously, I don't know the exact scenario, but there are many times we'll use apps that we give permission to know our location. Yeah, so they'll know our location, right? They know where we are. And they have pursued, and within, like, Facebook Messenger, that kind of stuff, we're public enough where people can find us and can request us. You're just handsome. That's what it's all about. I mean, that's really, they were just like, wow, you know, kind of thing. No, I'm just kidding.
But how can you stop that?
No, you get off. Yeah, you can be private. You can turn all your profiles to completely private and nobody can see them. And then they have to, like, through somebody else, have to find you, or you send a direct link to somebody else. So you can be extremely private, and you can, and I recommend that on many cases, especially for kids. Now, I don't end up being private because I want people to find me for our ministry and stuff like that. But you can be a totally private in Facebook and Instagram, can all be private, and you should be. I don't even let people follow me without giving them permission to follow me on Instagram. I count that more as my place where I spend with my friends and do things with, like, sharing photos and stuff like that there. But so you can be completely private. That would help a lot. Set your privacy levels. So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, grab it.
I am that very overprotective parent. I have installed, it's called an app called Questado.
Oh, yeah.
So,
it's good.
I mean,
one of the best.
I shut down my teenagers, like, put parameters on it, and he's like, oh, my apps are gone. I'm like, I don't know. And then I was like, oh, I know what
yeah.
I
mean.
But it's really been helpful for us because it will send me an email alert. They can't search anything. It tells me how long they've been on Clash of Clans. I mean, it really has helped a lot. But then, like, how do you... Like, without signing up, like, Snapchat. Like, Evan wanted Snapchat. And I'm like, I don't have time to figure out Snapchat. So I got online, and I'm like, it's just another time waster. But, like, with all these other apps that are, like, fun for kids, like, how do you know all the ins and outs? Because they're way smarter, and I don't care. Like, I don't care about filters, you know. So how do you know how to be safe for them?
I'm trying real hard to retrieve. There's a... So there's a couple things that just came out. Kirk Cameron came out with a new movie called Connect. It's Connect, and that's going to be. And he also has some parenting courses that are really good. And then there's another social parent. Smart Social has some. And I'll have to get you these because I don't have them off the top of my head. But there are things that you can watch that get you up to date in 10 minutes. Learn all you need to know about Snapchat. Okay, and they're done in a perspective for parents. Now. The thing is, it doesn't really matter which platform they're on. All of these platforms have private messaging. So Facebook, Messenger or Instagram or Snapchat or any of these things, you can private message anybody and delete them and nobody sees them. So again, it all goes back to the heart. So what I suggest is that you slowly start opening things up as they grow. So shut them all down and start releasing things as they grow. As they start using them correctly, you release something else and you learn from it, right? You learn from every step. It's like when we were teaching our kids how to walk, they had to fall. I remember the first time my daughter banged her head off the floor. I'm like, I am such a bad parent. I'm like, she just, you know, bruised, you know, I'm like, I should have caught her. You know, we can't always catch them, you know. So I think slowly you start releasing things and seeing how they use them. And you start, and you're already the first step, you're involved here. That's another thing. Getting kids involved in youth ministries and youth pastors, that is a bonus. Getting them around people who care about that is another thing. So there's no specific, but you've already done the first step of helping them shut things down to give them. You don't want to just give them a loaded gun, right? You don't give a kid a loaded gun. Hey, go shoot the bird. That's not going to go well, okay? I started my son out with this little plastic airsoft pistol, right? That's what he's using right now, and that he could probably, I don't want him to, but he could probably shoot me and I'd be okay, you know, kind of thing. I mean, I heard about these kids having these airsoft wars. I'm like, oh, they survive, so that kind of thing. So, you know, I wouldn't do it. But, I mean, you just start them off small and then let them open up to something more and learn from it. So another one in the back. Yeah. Good. You got to use it. This is the rule.
Do you know there was this thing I saw that it was a girl from Kalamazoo, and she was married and stuff like that. And then she said, oh, no, let's keep this on the down low. But she said not one, not two, but three explicit pictures to me.
Yeah. She sent them to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She sent them to
me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. And a lot of that you're not going to be able to. And so what I would do with that is I would quickly find somebody that I know that trusts me and that I trust and be like, hey, this just came. I did not, you know, have a conversation. That's what we call accountability. Yeah, well, there you go. She blogged. Accountability is having a handful of change and walking up to somebody and saying, I have $1.75. See? Yep, I've got $1.75. That's typically how we people think we're going to share accountability. We'll get into a group in like Sunday school class. Hey, how's everybody doing with their technology use? Oh, we're doing great. It's like, here, $1.75. To check accountability, it's like, here's my money. Count it. Check it out. The bank does this, right? We don't handle our social stuff like the bank does. We should. We should have that. I dare you. Give your best friend your logins to your accounts besides your wife. If you've got a friend, give somebody else your logins to your account. Okay, we were talking about that with some of the guys here. I'm like, you know what? Somebody else needs to have your passwords. I can't even change anything on my house settings without my wife typing in the password. get accountability. You don't have accountability, you're on your own. And stuff like that's going to come up, and you're going to get accused. Some lady's going to accuse you from doing something. As a youth pastor, not as forever, I would never be driving some kids home and the girl be the last one I would drop off. Ever. I would drive 20 miles out of my way with another boy or two other boys to make sure we drop that girl off first before we drop the last two boys off if I had to. And I hardly ever did that. We would do it, my wife and I, or something like that. Never. You just don't put yourself in those situations. Whether it's, so there's somebody who wants to be your friend. You're like, I don't know. We had this thing way back. We probably shouldn't be friends. Then don't. You don't have to be their friend on Facebook or Instagram, or, you know, somebody requests your friendship. You don't have to. I got this girl at the school where my kids go to that she's weird. She can listen to whatever. She's requested to follow me, and I said no. But you could have shared the light of Christ with her. Okay, well, yeah, but there's other ways to do that. It doesn't have to be on. You have to think, use wisely when it comes to this idea. So just got to be wise. You don't want to put yourself in a vulnerable situation. Any more questions? We'll be around after, too, so don't feel like you have to ask now if it's private and you want to ask. We'll be around for a little while. I have to drive back to Cleveland tonight, but as long as I'm in by 1, I'll be all right.
Chris, did you find that your kids were resentful when you made these moves in your house?
So luckily, I got to start this when they were entering into it. I've had many parents come up to me after one of these seminars and be like, my daughter's 16 and I've never done anything. How do I go about it now? How do I implement all of these restrictions on somebody who's been doing it for 3 years on their own? How do I do that? I'm like, well, okay, first of all, do you pay the bill? Yes, it's yours technically. You have the right to put these things in place, okay? They are going to fight you. They are going to, and my daughters, even when, you know, they were asking about different things, and they have, yes, they did. But I'm not their friend. I'm their parent, okay? Be the parent. Don't give the kid 2 hours of YouTube watching when they're 3 years old, okay? There's not really anything good on YouTube anyway. That's not true. They blow stuff up in slow motion. That's cool. Okay, there are some cool things, okay? You know, but I'm amazed. The thing is, we'll allow certain things to be watched, and then as soon as that's over, other stuff pops up, and they just click on it. We had a girl in Sunday school come in. She was probably a junior in high school. She came in. She was looking all tired the one morning I was teaching Sunday school. She came in. She went, wow, you okay? What's wrong? Oh, couldn't sleep last night. I was kind of up. I was up to about 4 o'clock watching YouTube. I'm like, what? First of all, in your bedroom? Yeah. You know, parents just let her have it. I'm like, what were you? I'm like, there's not Billy Graham's on there. That's about it. I mean, what else is on there? You know, kind of thing. But, you know, we don't know when to stop. All of us. And I refer to this with ice cream a lot. But if it wasn't for my wife, I would have buckets of ice cream. Okay? Honestly, I am being very honest. I would not have a cup of ice. If I didn't fear my wife like I should, I would have a bowl, a bucket, okay, with syrup all over it. You know, I would whipped cream, you know, sprinkles, nuts, yeah, protein. You know, chocolates from beans, it's veggie. Okay, no, you know what I mean? You're going to have to face the things. You're going to have to not be the fun guy for a while. But they need to be. We all need it. I've told my wife, anything you see that's questionable, you call me out on it. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want my family to be. I don't want them to be. There's horror stories. I just don't want that for my kids. I'd rather lose their friendship for a day or two or a year than have them be exposed to something and let them take them a path down a road. Okay? You have to talk through it with them. You have to help them. Don't just start throwing all this stuff on there and then they come back. What happened to my family? Talk through it with them. Walk the road with them. Help them understand why you're doing it. So, good question. Any more questions? Last one. We'll take another one. And
just one positive comment. how wonderful it is that the Lord uses this technology. Talk about being a missionary. Over in other countries, people are downloading the Jesus film and
absolutely.
So many other things. Scripture. And the Lord is also using this tool.
I have a missionary. I have a missionary that I'm helping. He's going into a very rural location. There's no internet there. But they're using technology through their phones. He's taking SD cards with the entire Bible on audio and putting them into the cell phones, and they're listening to God's word through their cell phones, and they're hearing it like they've never had it in their life. It's awesome. Like I said, this is a great thing, just used very poorly. And like I said this morning, we will stand account. I didn't make that up. I don't want that. But we're going to stand account in how we use what God's given us, and we need to use it for His glory. We need to put efforts for it and help. And we need to help our missionaries and help our churches in the area and help our ministries use technology for His glory. So thank you for that ending with a positive note. So, amen. We'll be in the back if you have any questions. That'd be great. Yeah. Thanks.
Could you guys give it up for Chris? Give him a thank you. Even get a standing ovation over here. All right. Thank you.
He doesn't have a smartphone. That's why he's just there.
Really, really important things to consider. And like he said, he'll be back there. You can talk with him more one-on-one if you'd like to. But don't take him too long because, like you said, he's got a long drive home. But I certainly, certainly appreciate him coming. He came. He had to leave super early this morning to get here. And then he stayed here all afternoon and hung out with us for a while and things. And he talked with Josh about how we're going to attack our own internet and things here in the physical church building and things like that. And then he has to drive all the way back home. So I certainly appreciate what he has done. And so we would love to bless him and bless the technology ministry network that he is a part of. So if the guys that I talked to, if you could get ready and grab those plates so that we could take up an offering for him. You, like I said, you could make out if you want to write a check for him. We're not pressuring you. We're not charging you to come here. You know, you have to pay a certain amount or anything like that. But just if the Lord lays it upon your heart that you would like to give to him and the ministry, you can make a check to Three Rivers Bible Church. We will make sure that all gets to him. Everything that we receive tonight will go to him and his ministry because this is a super, super important thing. We'd love to bless him for all that he's done to come and do this. So I will have a word of prayer, and then they'll pass the plates, and Doug will play a CD, and then I will come, and I'll dismiss you guys. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is very important, very heavy stuff. And Father, I pray that we would be convicted to not just have this go in one ear and out the other, but that this would change our hearts, that we would consider the lives of our families, the lives of our kids, and our own habits, our own hearts, how we approach technology in all of its various facets. And Lord, we want to bring you glory. We want to renew our minds. And Father, would you help us to do that? Help us as we navigate these really difficult and sometimes challenging and hard waters. Would you help us to navigate these things in a way that would honor you and please you? And so we just ask for your guidance and wisdom as we go from here. Maybe take these things that we've heard, these things we are challenged by, and not just forget about them. Put them into practice into our lives at home. And so, Father, we thank you for Chris. Thank you for all that he's doing and championing this effort to get this information to people. May you bless him. Give him safety as he travels and as he continues to spread this good word into all these different churches and places where he's at. May you bless his ministry and the other guys that are part of it as well. So we thank you for this time, Lord, and we pray that you would bless this offering now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.